Now please turn to Acts. Acts chapter 21. And we're going to be looking at Acts 21 beginning in verse 37. It's kind of a lengthy reading, but as you turn to Acts 21:37, I want to ask you a question. What is education for? Why go to school? Why continue adult education? You went out in the street, what would people say? What's it all about? What's it for? What's the purpose? Now, seeing as we are the Chinese Christian Church of Virginia, and the majority of us here are Chinese American, what if you were to ask people in China, what is education for? What's the goal? What's the purpose? What if we asked Chinese Americans, just took a sampling and asked, what is it all about? What are you hoping is going to come of it? We're going to consider these sorts of things today. Now let's listen now to the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. Acts 21, beginning in verse 37. A little bit of background. Paul had gone around the Mediterranean world telling people about Jesus, telling them that Christ had been resurrected from the dead, establishing churches in Greece and Turkey. And now he's back in Jerusalem. And he's in the temple. And those who don't understand what Paul is saying think that Paul is against Moses, basically the hero of Judaism up to that point. And so because they think that, they begin to attack him and want to kill him, but he's taken into custody before that can happen. And that's where we find him here in verse 37. As Paul was about to be brought into the barracks, he said to the tribune, this person who's overseeing him, "May I say something to you?" And he said, "Do you know Greek? Are you not the Egyptian then who recently stirred up a revolt and led the 4,000 men of the assassins out into the wilderness?" Paul replied, "I am a Jew from Tarsus in Cilicia, a citizen of no obscure city. I beg you, permit me to speak to the people." And when he had given him permission, Paul, standing on the steps, motioned with his hand to the people. And when there was a great hush, he addressed them in the Hebrew language, saying, "Brothers and fathers, hear the defense that I now make before you." And when they heard that he was addressing them in Chinese, in Hebrew, they became even more quiet. And he said, "I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city, Jerusalem, educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. I persecuted this way," meaning Christianity, Christians, "to the death, binding and delivering to prison both men and women, as the high priest and the whole council of elders can bear me witness. From them I received letters to the brothers, and I journeyed toward Damascus to take those also who were there and bring them in bonds to Jerusalem to be punished. As I was on my way and drew near to Damascus about noon, a great light from heaven suddenly shone around me, and I fell to the ground, heard a voice saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And I answered, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said to me, 'I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting. Now those who were with me saw the light, but did not understand the voice of the one who was speaking to me. And I said, 'What shall I do, Lord?' And the Lord said to me, 'Rise and go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that is appointed for you to do.' And since I could not see because of the brightness of that light, I was led by the hand by those who were with me and came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, well spoken of by all the Jews who lived there, came to me and standing by me said to me, 'Brother Saul, receive your sight.' And at that very hour I received my sight and saw him. And he said, 'The God of our fathers appointed you to know his will, to see the righteous one and to hear a voice from his mouth. For you will be a witness for him to everyone of what you have seen and heard. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on His name. When I had returned to Jerusalem and was praying in the temple, I fell into a trance and saw Him, that is Jesus, saying to me, make haste and get out of Jerusalem quickly, because they will not accept your testimony about me. And I said, Lord, they themselves know that in one synagogue after another, I imprisoned and beat those who believed in you. And when the blood of Stephen, your witness, was being shed, I myself was standing by and approving and watching over the garments of those who killed him. And he said to me, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Let's pray. Our Father, this is not just a record of people's religious experience. This is the Word of God through human authors. Let us treat your Word with the authority that it deserves. Let your Word guide our lives and our view of education. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, I have no doubt about it. But has anybody here heard of Song? S-A-N-G. Song. Okay. Well, I read an article, came across this article. It was on NPR, and it's about how for people born from about 1980 afterwards in China, there's this culture of song. And this culture is one that is basically apathetic, disappointed with how life has turned out. It's just a sort of almost a depressive sort of thing. How did that happen? Well, many believe that education was meant to lead to the greatest of colleges. And that the education in college, in which they were supposed to put in tremendous work as they had before, was then for a great job. A great job defined by, well, it's fun to do, but a lot of money. And a spouse and a family. But education is that means to an end. And for many, that end was what I just told you. It was a personal sort of end. I want to get into a good college and have people be proud of me for that and then go on and get a great job and make a lot of money and have enough to take care of my family. All of these things are good, don't get me wrong. But for many, it had become the reason to work so hard to get an education. It had become the reason for education. And when that becomes the aim, it's a dead end. One way or another. And what people who are sort of embracing this song culture are saying is, we were told that, we bought that idea of education, and it didn't pay off. And so I'm apathetic about life. I'm disappointed with life. I'm cynical about life. And so it's kind of funny, you can see how the song culture plays out. There are video games, there are TV shows, there are memes going around. My favorite is, there are boba shops. There's a boba shop called Sang Tea. And they've got names for their song, for their tea, like this. There's one you can buy called Work Overtime with No Hope of a Pay Raise Green Tea. Another one's called My Ex is Doing Better Than Me, Black Tea. Humorous, but underneath it all is this angst at having had the promise of education be about these things and those things not being received. Now, of course, on the other hand, some people do achieve those things, but nevertheless, when that is the end, the goal of education, it's still a dead end. Because it's all about me, and I achieved. And so when I look at those people at the Sang Tea shop, I look down on them in pride. I become a jerk because I'm the one who did things right, apparently, and they did not. And anyways, that kind of outlook on education is a dead end because eventually, I know it sounds bad, we all die. and anything you built will fall down. What is education about? Education is for God's worldwide mission of life-giving. Education is about God's worldwide mission to give life through Jesus Christ. And that's what we see happening with Paul. Paul was highly educated. Did you catch that at the beginning? He's in jail, potentially going to be tortured. And what does he say to the guy? Halagos and Arche. You know, he starts speaking Greek to the guy. The guy's looking at him. He thought he was Egyptian. You know Greek? Yeah, Paul knew Greek. Paul grew up in Tarsus of Cilicia. He was raised in a place where they would have Greek being spoken. That was the language of the Western Empire of Rome. And so in his education, he learned Greek. He didn't just learn it. I mean, he knew how to speak it fluently. And he used it to gain a hearing with this man. But he also understood politics. Because this guy says, oh, well, you're probably just an Egyptian who speaks Greek. Probably that Egyptian who led all those people out into the wilderness, etc., etc. This bad guy, basically. Painting Paul as a bad man. Paul's... Back then, look, back then, it was important where you were from. And Paul knew that. And he knew, you understand, he understood politics. And he said, oh, I'm from Egypt. I'm from Tarsus of Cilicia, I'll have you know. That put this prison guard on Paul's level. And actually maybe below Paul's level in terms of how social standing went back then. Paul understood Greek. Paul understood politics. And why is Paul employing this? Is he just trying to get out of being tortured and killed? No! Paul knew that could be the outcome. He was following Jesus, who had been tortured and killed. But he's using his education as a way of potentially getting out of that so that he might serve Christ more effectively to the ends of the earth. And so now this prison guard doesn't want to mess with him. Okay, fine. Go ahead and speak to the people. This is Paul then turn to everybody and say, "En arche halagos." He doesn't speak Greek. He waves his hands. He wants to make a speech. And by the way, being from Tarsus of Cilicia, he was raised to learn rhetoric, how to make a speech. This is a place that was known for philosophy and rhetoric and so on. He uses his education now of public speaking, gains their attention, and he speaks Hebrew to Hebrew people. Why? Because it's a connection. I'm one of you. You guys want to kill me. I'm one of you. You understand? And then he says, I am a Jew born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. Educated at the feet of Gamaliel, according to the strict manner of the law of our fathers, being zealous for God, as all of you are this day. How did he know Hebrew so well? In part because he was simply a Jew and he lived in that eastern part of the empire. So he knew Hebrew, probably Aramaic. So Paul here knows the languages of the entire Roman Empire, and he's able to work with people in order to try to promote the mission of God in the world, to make Christ known. And by the way, you have that opportunity. Not just graduates, because education doesn't stop in high school and college. All of us are learners forever. But in particular, for you who are younger here, as you look to the future of how you can serve God's worldwide mission, you have a unique opportunity at CCCVA. Because you know English, and you were at least brought up in a home where you know some Chinese. And I know Caleb Chua told me he wants to study Chinese in college. Learn it better. Well, guess what happens if you learn that? You can speak the two largest language groups in the world. You can be like Paul the Apostle in relating to people, to the majority of people in the world, for the purposes of world mission. This is not just for Paul. He is a model for you. and he studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew the law like nobody else. When he says, I studied at the feet of Gamaliel, what does that mean? I was born and raised in Harvard, folks. I was born... Gamaliel was a big name. It was like Harvard. That's his education. But why is he doing this? To make a defense so that he might be able to move forward and continue the worldwide mission of God. Paul was highly, highly educated. And he was called by Jesus, as we heard, to be a witness to all of what he had seen and heard. My friends, he had not had just some kind of religious experience. He had seen the concrete, real, physical Jesus who ate fish after he rose from the dead. I'm talking about a real, resurrected human being that Paul saw in person on the road to Damascus. And because he had seen the resurrection, he became an apostle who would declare that to the Gentiles, meaning all people who are not Jewish, which the majority of us here today are. And where was he called to go? Jesus said, go, for I will send you far away to the Gentiles. And Paul knew that, and Paul understood that he might be able to be called even further. The ends of the earth back then, the gospel, the message of Jesus, going to the ends of the earth back then, that was like Spain to their minds. And Paul wanted to head to Rome. And so he employed all of his education so that he might further the worldwide mission of God to give life to Rome through the message of Christ. And indeed, that is where Paul ends up going. We were to turn, you don't have to 23:11. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, take courage, for as you have testified to the facts about me in Jerusalem, so you must testify also in Rome. Let me ask you a question. Did Paul, when he was a little kid, learning rhetoric, learning Greek, learning Aramaic, sitting at the feet of Gamaliel, did he know how God was going to use all of those things he was learning for God's worldwide mission? He had no idea. He didn't know who Jesus was. But despite his not knowing, God had a plan. I know we've all taken classes that were like, what was the point? I still don't know, but God does. And as you move forward, graduates, on into college, on for your master's degree, you might be in classes you don't understand how they're always going to apply. But you will understand how they're going to apply if you have the right view of education. If you think it's just about, you know, me getting the sorts of things that the world tells me I should get for my education, then, you know, astrophysics might not make sense in all of that. But when you understand that your education is to promote the worldwide mission of God in ways you haven't even considered yet, then you go for that education with zeal and with hope and with faith and with love. Because God is calling you to use your education for the sake of giving life to others through word and deed as one who knows Jesus and promotes Jesus. You all probably know, at least many of us know, the Raymers. Raymers have been with us at this church for about 2 years, I think. And many of you know they came from Tanzania. That's not where they originally came from. They were born and raised in North Carolina. And when Justin was born and raised, he was born and raised on a farm, a dairy farm. That was his early education, farming. But his family was also involved in construction. So from the earliest age, he was learning how to construct things. Now, when he was a little boy milking a cow, do you think he had any idea he was going to be in Tanzania one day milking a cow? No idea. But God had an idea for that little boy. He went on and he got a college education at NC State. Agricultural science. Went on and got a certificate at Gordon Conwell Seminary in Scripture. And then he was called by God to take the gospel to people who had never heard the gospel before. We all are involved in world mission, whether we're going to places where people have never heard or whether we're going to our local boba shop. Because God's world mission is everywhere, all the time. And like Justin, whether you're going to unreached peoples or whether you're going down the street, you are to use all that God has educated you in for the purposes of God's worldwide mission to give life. If you keep this perspective on your education, you will neither become prideful nor will you become sad, but you will become a vehicle for the life of Christ moving into this world. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the education that you've given us. Thank you for the little boys and girls who are gaining educations now and have no idea how you're going to use them to bring life into this world by the power of your Spirit. Oh Lord God, we pray for our graduates in particular today. And ask that at this time, they will be able to hold on to this truth from your word that we see modeled in Paul, that education is for your worldwide mission to give life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.